3rd, 1952.
Please be seated. For your information, I shall deliver the State of the Union message on Wednesday at 12:30. That's the day after the Davis Congress meeting. I've been in touch with the Vice President and the Speaker, and that day and hour is agreeable to them. I'll try to answer questions if you have any.
President, would you be agreeable, sir, to have the public visit the White House before you and the First Lady move in?
No, I would not. The White House, after we move in and get settled, will be open to the public on nearly every day at the regular hour, and the public will have ample chance to see it. We don't expect to have any housewarming except when we move in. We'll heat it up then and see how it works.
Mr. President, after you set up your commission to study the health needs of the nation, Dr. Klein, the president of the American Medical Association, had quite a lot to say about it. He opposed the idea and said that he thought you were misusing emergency funds by setting up this commission.
He's entitled, I think, anything he wants to, Smitty, but I've got a little statement here that I'll read you about it, which covers it. I established the commission on the health needs of the nation because I want to see to it that the health of our people is protected and that sick people receive adequate medical care, which they're not doing now. The purpose of the commission is to study the facts and to give us the recommendations of high-caliber professional and lay persons. Their findings will help the public to get rid of the confusion that has grown up as a result of the bitter attacks upon any constructive measures I have supported to bring adequate health care to all the people. The fact that we lost over 500 million man-days of work due to illness in the last fiscal year is evidence enough that we must keep fighting the drain on our strength due to sickness and disease. I appointed as chairman of the commission Dr. Paul Magnuson, an eminent surgeon whose reputation for integrity and devotion to the public service are absolutely unquestionable. Every one of the other 14 members of the commission were recommended to me by Dr. Magnuson. I would not have asked the doctor to serve on the commission under any other arrangement. Every one of the 14 members had indicated a willingness to serve prior to the public announcement of the establishment of the commission. The sole purpose of my commission is to get representative opinions from both the medical profession and the lay public on the best means for alleviating the suffering of millions of Americans. The only condition on the selection of the commission was a willingness on the part of each member to approach each problem with an open mind and weigh the facts and to suggest solutions to the problem. The commission will operate in this framework and will have its first meeting in Washington next week.
Mr. President, the doctor who declined to serve was Dr. Gunderson. Is that the doctor you said you referred to there when you say the doctor?
Dr. Magnuson is the only one I refer to. Every time I say a doctor, it's Dr. Magnuson.
But you say all 14 of them have agreed to serve.
Yes, all 14.
15, including Dr. Maddox.
Yes, I think that's correct.
The reporter in the United States said that the Attorney General's draft signifies in writing to you that the doctor is agreeing to approach the president.
Well, now, he asked me about Mr. McGrath. In response to all questions regarding continued drastic action, including is McGrath resigning, I propose the following. I'm not going to answer that question. There have been so many rumors, I cannot possibly answer all of them. I made an announcement yesterday regarding the reorganization of the Bureau of Internal Revenue. When I'm ready, I'll make further announcements. Until then, I have nothing to say.
You said there'd been so many rumors. What, Mr. President?
There have been so many rumors going around, I can't possibly spend all my time answering those rumors. And it seems to me that announcements of the sort ought to come from the President of the United States. And when I get ready to make any announcements, I've always told you. I told you in plenty of time, so you could get in the next day's papers, or that day's, if you have a morning press conference. That bars questions that have anything, any bearing on that subject at all.
President, there is rumors not about the draft and letters until it states the longstanding desire of Mr. Simon to get out of the government service.
He wants to get out, and I think probably sometime this month I'll accept his resignation.
This month?
Mm-hmm.
There's also a report that there was something curious about the rather speedy acceptance of the resignation of the Constitution.
It was accepted at, strictly at his request, and on the date on which he requested it, that it be accepted.
Mr. President, there is another one of these rumors on Capitol Hill that you have this time referred to the State Department and the Labor Department. And you asked them not to negotiate a new labor agreement in Mexico pending congressional action on your Mexican Congress on COVID-19.
I had an agreement with the President of Mexico last year that the Congress would act in regard to that labor agreement, and unless the Congress does act, there'll be no agreement with Mexico. And yes, I had an agreement with the President of Mexico that the matter would be submitted to the Congress for action. And unless they take the necessary action, there'll be no negotiations with the government of Mexico.
I was so busy writing negotiations about what, sir?
About the labor situation down in the Southwest. I'm very sorry, I can't give you any enlightenment on that. I'll tell you when I'm ready.
Well, Mr. President, did you give Mr. McKinney to understand that you would tell him by the 1st of March whether you would run or not?
No, I did not. I've given nobody to understand anything about any date with regard to that, May. I know what I'm going to do, as I've told you before, and when I get ready, I'll announce it.
Sir, reports that the parts of the administration, the defending business of the judicial, is less welcome than it is considered a position for an institution.
Mr. Churchill is very welcome, and I will extend to him as hearty a welcome as I know how to give to any visitor. There are a number of important things that we can discuss and discuss profitably to both of us, and I'm glad he's coming. I don't know where all such foolish things as that originate. I have a complete agenda, and it is not to be made public. We'll issue a communique after the conferences are over, and you'll be informed on exactly what took place.
Mr. President, could you tell us something about your conference this morning with the Bolivian ambassador on the TIN situation?
He just talked with me about TIN. I listened. Oh, I'll talk with anybody, any senator or any member of the House of Representatives on politics or any other subject they want to talk about. Whenever I go to a conference or whenever I anticipate a conference, I always have an agenda. And I have one now.
Mr. President, Chairman Dalton said today that he thought your plan to reorganize the Internal Revenue Bureau might encounter what he called much opposition. What do you think of that?
I don't think much of it. I think it's a good plan, and I think it ought to go through.
Your statement that you will probably accept Mr. Simon's resignation toward the end of the month.
I didn't say toward the end of the month. I said sometime this month.
Sometime this month. But does that indicate a change in the RFC policy on this same situation?
That has nothing to do with any policy. Mr. Simon's been trying to get out of the government for a year and a half. I will make the announcement at the proper time.
Mr. President, the Internal Revenue Reorganization Plan has been under investment sometime before the announcement was made.
Yes, been under consideration ever since the Hoover Report. There's been some violent opposition to it in the Congress, and we've been trying to overcome that opposition. We finally, I think, have gotten around to the point where an acceptable program is in the making, and we'll go down to the Congress, and I'm sure that they'll approve it.
Did Andy Jason have any key substance here?
No. I told you it originated with the Hoover Report some 2.5 years ago. And it's been under consideration ever since.
What's that?
Said oh, yes, yes. I thought it dated from you. You said did it date from the King Subcommittee. It dates from the time of the Hoover Report.
Mr. President, what was the nature of the opposition from terms of the objective making the collectors political appointees?
They want to keep them political appointees. That's what the difficulty is. And they've raised a good deal of fuss, some of them have, when we've fired some of these fellows.
You say who would object to it?
No, I didn't name any name.
Mr. President, are these Democrats who opposed the Republicans?
Both.
Mr. President, were the number of these people all civil service people?
No, I don't think they were. And there may have been some civil service people that were fired, but most of them were collectors who were appointees of the president. That's all right.
Do you see any prospect for an early solution of the tin-type deadlock?
I can't answer the question. I said I couldn't answer the question. No, that is not to be commented on at the present time. We're in the same position almost as we were at the last press conference, and I can make no comment on it. No, no, we just discussed the message on the State of the Union. I'll see him as soon as he gets back here, and then we'll talk politics, business, and whatever the Congress wants to talk about.
But, President, do you have the dates on your other two messages?
No, they're not. I'm not in a position to give you a date on them yet.
Mr. President, I was just going to say why you would give something that came in with the general department.
Because that's my business.
Mr. President, I wondered if either Senator Kefauver has gotten in touch with you or you with him on the possibility of you having a little talk on the political situation.
I haven't heard from the Senator. He knows how to make an appointment. Mr. Connolly's always on the telephone to answer those things. Mr. Short informs me that most of the people who were discharged in the Internal Revenue Bureau were civil service people, but there were several top ones that were presidential appointees that were discharged too.
Ask him to tell you what is the situation with respect to Judge Murphy.
Well, I don't care about answering questions on that line, but Judge Murphy accepted the appointment. And after he got back to New York, he changed his mind and turned it down.
Did he submit any conditions at all after?
No, he didn't submit any conditions at all. I gave him all the conditions that are necessary for his acceptance.
Mr. President, along that same line, are you still thinking of a substitute for Judge Murphy?
I don't care about answering that question. That's in the agenda that I said I didn't care to talk about. I'll give you all the enlightenment possible as soon as I get around to it.
Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome, Smitty.